As we're starting the top of Chof Omen Aleph, towards the end of Rebbe the Tudah, this is the end of the finishing up the Mishnah that we had yesterday. At the end of the Mishnah, we had a machlokes between the Tana Kama and Rebbe Yehuda. The Tana Kama believed that Hilni Amalka ended up with a Nazirut of 14 years, and of 21 years, and Rebbe Yehuda believes that Hilni Amalka only had a 14-year Nazirut. And the question is, why does Rabbi Yehuda think there were 14 years? Is it a practical issue that she only had 14 years, or there is a halachic issue that is driving his belief that it's 14 years versus 21 years? That's the Gemara. Yibayiluhum. Bishin nitmeit v'alibid beit shamai, or dilum bishin lo nitmeit v'alibid beit hila. There are two possibilities of why Rabbi Yehuda ended up with 14 years. We could have, what was the case? If you remember by Hilni Amalka, she leaves, she takes the Neder Nizirut with regards to her son returning B'Shalom. So she does the full 7 years Nizirut, then she comes to Eretz Yisrael. When she comes to Eretz Yisrael, she repeats the whole 7 years, Kedat Beit Hillel. And when she repeats Kedat Beit Hillel, she also becomes Tamei at the end of her Nizirut, her second Nizirut, and therefore she has to Iplu Yomema Rishonim, and she has to do it again another 7 years. So she ends up with a total of 21 years. So now Rabbi Yehuda says 14 years. Why did Rabbi Yehuda get to 14 years? Is it because he believes that she never became Tamei? You know, there's just practical difference between them, that the case wasn't such that she became Tamei. So therefore, there were only 14 years, like Beit Hillel, versus 21 years, like the Tana Kama, who believes at the end of the 14th year she became Tamei, and then she had to do another 7 years. So the machlokes between them would be simply whether she became Tamei or not at the end of her 14th year. Or the other possibility is that he holds like Beit Shammai. And the reason why she had to keep the second set of 7 years is because when she came to Eretz Yisrael, Haruah Beis Hillel, right? Beis Hillel told her that she's got to do another 7 years. But if you held like Beit Shammai, when you came up to Eretz Yisrael, what would you have to do? You'd only have to do 30 days, right? So she only would have to do 30 days. So then, during that 30-day period, she became Tamei, right? Now, even according to Beit Shammai, if she became Tamei during that 30-day period, it would be okay, the Nizirut, or the total Nizirut. Why that is a good question. Now, there are different Shatim given here. We'll go with the one I'm explaining now, is the way that the Rosh, the Tosfot, learn the Gemara, as well as the, there's a Deya in the Mefarish that learns this way. You can see it, if you look in the Tosfot, Vishnitmet, Valibad Vit Shammai, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Hutzracha Limnot Lamed Yom Be'Eretz Yisrael. She had to count 30 days once she reached Eretz Yisrael. V'nitme'a B'Sof Lamed Yom Be'Eretz Yisrael. She became Tamei at the end of those 30 days in Eretz Yisrael. U'manta Od Sheva Shanim. Then she counted another 7 years. Sheharei, right? Sheharei Hutzracha Historical Kol Nizirut. That tuma that she has when she reaches Eretz Yisrael ruins, right, her entire Nizirut. It's interesting only because the Lamed Yom, in addition, based on the previous Gemara, was only a Knas, according to Beit Shammai. Right? And yet, when you become Tamei, during that period of those 30 days, you're now not only going to be Oker the 30 days, you're going to be Oker the entire 7 years that you counted before. But Beit Hillel makes sense somewhat that when she became Tamei at the end of the 7 year period of the Knas, then she has to repeat the Knas period, which is 7 years. But over here, for Beit Shammai, she comes to Tamei during the Knas period, not only does she have to repeat the Knas period, she has to basically repeat the entire Nizirut. Alright, but either way, these are the possibilities of what Rabbi Yehuda, what generates Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of 14 years. Is it that he's arguing on the Tana Kama that she never became Tamei? So she never had that last set of 7 years according to Beit Hillel? Or does he not hold like Beit Hillel? He holds like Beit Shammai, and he got 14 years because the only way you get to 21 years is if you believe like Beit Hillel, where if you come to Eretz Yisrael after you have a Nizirut, you have to repeat the entire Nizirut, not just the 30 days. Now the Gemara asks, Tashma, Alta la'aretz, v'rua Beit Hillel sh'tein Yitzirot sheva shanim acherot. So now they're quoting the Deya of the Tana Kama right now, which is also unusual. It doesn't make sense. The proof that from the Mishnah is really what Rabbi Yehuda says, Yet the Gemara here in Nazir quotes the entire Mishnah and says v'chule. Right? Why is it quoting the entire Mishnah? So you could answer, right? You would think that the Rishonim here would answer like they do everywhere else, that Lazit and Hashon Nazir Mishneh. But they do here, the Rishonim point out that there might be something important that comes out of the Tanakama's Lashon. What is that? When she became Tameh. Did she become Tameh in the middle of her counting, or at the last day, or towards the end of her counting? Why does that matter? Well, matters because otherwise, right, the next question, or the proof in the Gemara is not a proof, number one. And number two is we have to deal with, we'll see in a second, we have to deal with Rabbi Eliezer. All right, so far we'll see. What?
Yamim Acharonim.
Right, Rabbi Eliezer, that you need to get to, if on the last day of your Nisirut you became Tameh, there's only a requirement of an additional 30 days, and not a requirement of a full another Nisirut, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And we've seen that Rabbi Huda holds like this position of Rabbi Eliezer. So if that's the case...
From Tarat Nazir.
And that was the puzzle that he uses, is that yesterday we saw that he actually needs two psukim, right? He has two limudim. One limud is that Yomim Rishonim Yiplu, Mashmash Yesh Akronim. And then he has the other limud, which is Biyom Malot Yomim Yizro, Zot Tarat Nazir. Right? That's the Tarat Nazir is when you have a Malot Nazir. But either way, it would only require an additional 30 days and not a full nether Mizirut. Right, so let's look at the Gemara's proof, and then we'll go back and see why the Gemara quoted the whole Mishnah to show you or give evidence from the Tanakhama towards the Rabbi Yehuda's position. So when it says, if you think Rabbi Yehuda's position, right, is like Beit Shammai, and that's why he said it's only 14 years, I glossed over this, but when I was explaining to you so that the question would still look like a good question, right? He says, Rabbi Yehuda, that she's only a Nazirah for 14 years. According to Beit Shammai, how long is she really a Nazirah? She's a Nazirah for Yudalit Shana Ushloshim Yomi Ba'ele. She's for 14 years and 30 days. Because what happened? She took 7 years when she was in Chutz La'aretz, comes up to Eretz Yisrael. What does Beit Shammai require her to do? An additional 30 days. But she does an additional 30 days, then she becomes Tameh or Tmeah at the end of her 30th day. She then requires an additional 7 years for what she was Soter. So now she has 14 years and 30 days. So how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda is holding like Beit Shammai in our Mishnah when it says in our Mishnah only 14 years and not 14 years and 30 days?
And what's the alternative?
It's Beit Hillel, which is that it's just 14 years because there was no Tumah here. Right, the alternative is that it's Beit Hillel. There was 7 years where she took her first Nazirut, she came up to Eretz Yisrael, and then she had another 7 years and it was done. And there was no Tumah. That was a practical issue. That Rabbi Yehuda said she never became Tmeah. So that's the alternative.
Okay, right.
So that's just, you have 14 years. So the two alternatives are 14 years or 14 years and 30 days. So the Rishonim asked, why can't it work? Why don't you just say that she came up to Eretz Yisrael before the end of her seventh year? She came up to Eretz Yisrael 30 days before the end of her seventh year, and then they made her keep, you know, the 30 days that she needed to keep in Eretz Yisrael were running simultaneous with the end of her first Neder Nizirut, and then you'll have 14 years, no problem.
If you say 30 days, 30 days is a class.
Right. But here's the
Knaas. Beyond the first seven.
But the Knaas is only, what, Torat Nazir. So she comes up and keeps that amount of Nazirut. If she came up the first...
It's not class. She would have had to keep those number of days anyway.
So I'm saying, is your suggestion that, and I think this is incorrect, but your suggestion is if she came after, according to Beit Hillel, after a week of a seven-year Nazirut, she comes into Eretz Yisrael, she would have to keep 14 years? No, that doesn't make any sense. The point is that she should keep the Nazirut in Eretz Yisrael.
What's the basis for the Knaas? Why are they Knaas?
Because we talked about the fact that either possibly Tumat Eretz Amim, which is one possibility, or the other possibility is that they want you to be in Eretz Yisrael for your Karbanot, right, and to protect from your Tumat, to be in the center of, you know, where everything happens. I assume that's the basis of the Knaas. Right, so I think that if she keeps, and that's what the Rishonim ask here, if she came up with enough time to keep 30 days in Eretz Yisrael, that'd be sufficient. You wouldn't impose the Knaas on her in that instance. Because you kept the Torat Nazir in Eretz Yisrael.
Well, I could still be thought of as a knas. It's just that the
it's running simultaneous.
You kept in Chutz Laretz just didn't count. So how much does he have to keep in Eretz Yisrael? So Bishami says the minimum amount, because it's only a knas. In other words, it's not related to the original amount.
Well, you have the original amount is relevant only because she has to keep that nether, right? The original amount isn't relevant because she needs to get to the 7 years in order to finish that nether. She came up 3.5 years into her nether in Zirut. According to Beit Shammai, she couldn't just keep 30 days and be off the hook.
But 30 is sufficient.
30 is, if it runs at the end, if she had 30 years at the end. If that's the case, you could come up a case for Beit Shammai that she also did 14 years, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
If someone began a term of Nazirut in Chutz Laretz, Eretz, and completed it, then they, you know, Chutz Laretz, then they were Kohanim.
Okay.
But if they came there, so observed at least a
30-day period,
the minimum period of the Nazirut, then there was no need to get it. I don't think you can say that they still gave him a class, but ran concurrently, because it's not a class.
Right, I mean, it's subsumed in that.
There
wasn't a need for the class.
They accomplished what the class was supposed to accomplish anyway, so they didn't have to.
Right.
You're about to say that there's still a way that, according to Beit
Shammai, 14 years.
Now.
Because now we're saying that according to Beit Shammai, it should be 14 years and 30 days. But she came up with 30 days before the end of her Nizirut to Eretz Yisrael, then it would be 14 years, because those, you wouldn't need the additional class of 30 days. That 30 days was already completed when she came up, and then she became Tamei, and then she, Tamei, and then she needs another 7 years, and 14 years. So that's why the Rishonim say over here, why did the Gemara bring down the Mishnah, the whole Mishnah? And the proof from the Mishnah is only Rabbi Yehuda's statement, about 14 years. And when the Gemara quoted the Mishnah as the Tashma, it quotes from the Tanakhama's position. And how does, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that, the Rishonim say over here, that's to show you that just like by the Tanakhama, she became Tmeya on the last day, or she came up there so on the last day, so too, for Rabbi Yehuda, is the cases that she came up on the last day. And that's why the Gemara quotes the entire Mishnah, it's not simply Rabbi Yehuda's position, to tell you that, to prove to you that there is no Havla'ah. So if you look down in the Tosfot, it's Tosfot Tashma. Actually, if you look, before we get to the widest lines in the Tosfot, go two, four lines up. The first word on that line is V'yishlomar. V'yishlomar. Right? V'yishlomar. The Mishum Haki Maite Divrei Taunikama. Why did the Gemara bring the Taunikama? Four lines up from the widest lines. V'yishlomar. Yeah, in the Tosfot Tashma. But yeah, four lines up from the widest lines. It's V'yishlomar is the first word on the line. See it? Yeah. This is why they bring the words of the Tanakhama. That's clear from the Tanakhama. We're not dealing with overlapping time periods. Right? Because he explicitly says that at the end of the 7 years, she became Tmeya. And therefore she was a Nazira for 21 years. Must be the case for Rabbi Yehuda is that we're not dealing with an overlapping Nazirut for Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore you must come to a conclusion that if you're holding like Beit Shammai, we need 14 years and 30 days here, because there is no overlapping count, or there's no Havla'ah, no inclusion of one inside of the other. Okay. So now the Gemara continues. So that was the proof from our Mishnah. Tanya Nami Hoch, we have a Bryce that suggests in a similar way. Rehudo Mer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Right, Rehudo says the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Damar Kras Zul Tarata Nazir. Right, Atomar Amar Kinitma Beyom Lot Tein Lo Tarat Nazir. Right, so now, what's the Tanya Nami Ochi over here? So now, first of all, here's Rabbi Yehuda Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, right? See, Rabbi Yehuda Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer saying that if you become Tamei on the last day, then you need to give yourself an additional 30-day period. You need to give yourself an additional 30 days to become. And therefore...
So to prove that, the Gemara is trying to determine was, according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of things, was she Nivez or was she not Nivez? And this would prove that she was not Nivez. Because if she were
right,
then there would have to be a 30-day period in there somewhere.
Right. Well, here the Tanya Nami Ofi says that she wouldn't even need an additional 7 years, which is if she was nitmate beyond the load on the last day of an Izirut.
She's fuzzy. You can hold like Beis Hillel that she needs another 7 years.
Right.
Obviously, for sure, he has to hold like Beis Hillel. And if she wasn't nitmate, then she gets another 7 years because of the Knas Peretz Amid.
Right. Well, this is right. So that's what I pointed out to you, before, was that the two weaknesses in we're saying Rabbi Yehuda is like Beit Shammai is one. The weakness is that it should have been 14 years and 30 days because Beit Shammai only requires an extra 30 days for that, and then she became Tamei at the end of that. She needs 14 years and 30 days. All he mentions in the Mishnah is 14 years. The second problem with Rabbi Yehuda's position is that we have a braisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer, if you become Tamei on the last day of your Nizirut, on Yom HaLot, what do you have to do? Do you repeat the entire Nizirut or you only do 30 days? The answer is you only do 30 days, like the position of Rabbi Eliezer. If that's the case, even if she became Tamei, she would only have to do an additional 30 days. So according to this, if you held like Beit Shammai, she came up to Eretz Yisrael after 7 years of Nizirut. She then what? She then has a knas of 30 days. She becomes Tamei on the last day.
She should have
an additional 30 days.
So it'll be 7 years and 6 days.
Exactly, which is not what he says. He says 14 years. So what's clear is it must be there. Yehuda just disagrees that there was any tumah involved here. He holds like Beit Hillel, but disagrees that there was any tumah involved. And that's how he gets to his 14 years. He gets to his 14 years. She did 7 years in Chutz Laretz, came up, and they gave her the knas of Beit Hillel. That it's an additional 7 years. So these are two proofs that Rabbi Yehuda must hold, and that's what the Tanya Namayaki is, that Rabbi Yehuda must be saying this in the position of Beit Hillel, but just arguing about whether she became Tamei at the Tmeiah at the end of her second seven-year period.
And you would say that because if at the end of her second seven-year term, she had become Tmeiah, she would still have another 7 years.
Not according to Rabbi Yehuda, but according to... No, because Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's actually not an exception. She'd have another 30 days, because he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. So,
right.
So no matter what, it would not...
Can't be talking about Tumah here.
It wouldn't be 14 years versus 21 years.
He couldn't come up with that 21-year period because unless she was Tamei a little before the last day, second to last day, she became Tamei.
So he says a little so.
Right.
You just say the punchline now?
Okay.
Allow through.
All right, sure. So the question the Gemara posed was when Rabbi Yehuda says 14 years, is that Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai? Who is Rabbi Yehuda saying that they came up to 14 years? Meaning, does he disagree with the Tanna Kamma? Because the Tanna Kamma says, how do you get to 21 years? She did 7 years in Chutz Laretz, 7 years in Eretz Yisrael, plus she became Tamei. So you could eliminate one of those 7 year periods, because Beit Shammai argues on Beit Hillel, it says that you don't do 7 years when you come up for Eretz Yisrael, you only do 30 days. So therefore, she could have a case where she came up for 7 years, then did her 30-day period in Eretz Yisrael, before, according to Beit Shammai, became Tamei, and then she has to do an additional 7 years because of the stira. So you end up with 14 years, according to Beit Shammai. Right, or the possibility is that he holds like Beit Hillel. She came up from the 7 years in Chutz Laretz, did 7 years in Eretz Yisrael, and never became Tamei. And the reason she didn't get the 21 years is because she never was made Tamei. So where it goes, it must be the second, must be the latter, that it's Beit Hillel and the 14 years. Why? Because we have two problems with it being Beit Shammai and being 14 years. Number one is that I'm glossing over this when I'm explaining the question, but that it's not really 14 years. It's 14 years and 30 days, because after she came up from Chutz Laretz, she has 30 days that she has to do before she becomes Tamei. So you really have 7 years, 30 days, and then 7 years, which is 14 years and 30 days. Rabbi Yehuda only mentions 14 years. That's one problem. The second problem is, if she became Tamei on the last day, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would not have to repeat the entire Nizirut. He holds like Rabbi Eliezer that when you come Tamei on your Yom Malot, on the last day of your Nizirut, you only have to repeat, you only have to do an additional 30-day period. So even if she became Tamei, she wouldn't have to do an additional 7 years. You don't have to do an additional 30 days. So even if he held like Beit Shammai, she came up from there, Chutz Laretz, she did 7 years in the Chutz Laretz. First of all, she would only do 30 days in Eretz Yisrael. Plus, she came to me on that last day of those 30 days, she'd only do another 30 days. So it'd be 7 years and 60 days. So either way, we can't come up with a case where Rabbi Yehuda is like Beit Shammai. So it must be, the conclusion of the Gemara is that Rabbi Yehuda is like Beit Hillel. It's only a big deal, but he disabuses the Tanna Kama that she ever became Tmeah at the end. That's the difference between them. Right? The Tanna Kama believed that on the last day of the 14-year period she became Tmeah, therefore she required an additional 7 years. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, she never became Tmeah, therefore she was in Chutz Laretz for 7 years, came up there still to repeat the 7 years, and that was the end of her Nizirut. And as we pointed out, Shaul was saying this also, that even if she did become Tmeah, if he held like Beit Hillel on this 14th year, it wouldn't matter. It would only be 14 years and 30 days because he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Right? So it's not relevant because that's not what he's saying in the end, but just to point out that even in the context of Beit Hillel, he would say that. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara.
If he held like Beit Shammai, then he would never get to 14 years. He could get 7 years and 30 days, 7 years, even 60 days if he became Tmeah right at the end of the fast period. Right?
Right, exactly.
Although Beit Shammai, not like Rabbi Yehuda, you could say that it would be an extra 7 years.
14 years and 30 days.
It would be 14 years and 30 days. But because Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer, he would maximum have another 30 days in there.
Right. Exactly. All right, new Mishnah. Mishnah, you stay kite edim idot ozo. You have two sets of edim that come and testify. Elu edim shenazar shdayim. One set of edim says that he took two sets of nizirut. Elu edim shenazar chamesh. He took five sets of nizirut. B'sharim nechukku edut. Here you have edut that is arguing. They are soter each other. So it's as if they don't exist. Right. Well, b'sharim nechukku edut. Ben kan nizirut. B'shalomim yesh bechal chamesh shdayim. Right, that both of them agree that he did at least two. So when you say that they're arguing, you can split Balkina, almost Balkina and Dibura, we split their ages. Part of the ages says they both agree, yes, they both say two. Then the other catches, there's an additional three, which they disagree with. So at least on the two, they're agreeing that he's chayav for. And so maybe it's Bukhla Khamesh time, she nazir time, he has to be at least a nazir for those two periods. The question is, what is the Baal Davar doing here? When the two sets of Eidim come, what is he doing? Is he arguing with them, or is he agreeing to them? Does he say, obviously he can't agree. If he agrees, then there's nothing to do, because so that Baal Din can be Eidim Domin, right? So he's not saying anything. So the two possibilities left, one is that he's shtika, that he's silent, that the two Eidim come and he's silent, or the other possibility is that he is arguing. He disagrees with all the Eidim. He says, I didn't take any zero turn, I disagree with the number. So what is happening over here? That the...
Why would he argue? I mean, Shavya Nafshe. A person has an amnesia, if he gets how many nizirut he took. Is that the case? A person doesn't want to incur, averos. He wants to do
what's right. All right, so here we go. So let's look at Tosfos.
They misinterpreted what I said. I wasn't talking about
it. All right, so here we go. Down in the Tosfos. Misha yushtei kite idim idot. If you look at that, if you skip down one line, the end of the second line of that Tosfos, it's actually the widest line in Tosfos, the first widest line in Tosfos, the last word on the line is V'yesh Lomar. V'yesh Lomar, the last word on that line is V'yesh Lomar, okay? V'yesh Lomar, Shehanoder Machish Kolacha Be'achat, he disagrees with both sets of Eidim. Right, so he does that. V'yimod Alachat, Lamalo Yekahodato. Because if he admits to one set of Eidim, then whichever set he admits to will be the case that we believe. Inami, right, so this is what you were suggesting to me, Bomer in Yodaya. He doesn't know. So he's irrelevant to the case because he doesn't remember what he said. So the only thing we have here is to deal with are the two sets of Eidim. He's out of the picture because he doesn't know what happened. He doesn't remember what happened. Or the last possibility. Inami kishishote. He's silent. Uvoshe kito yachad. And they came at the simultaneously. Right, so in general, we say when a Baal Din is silent in the face of a Din, or in the face of a claim, that Shtika kihoda'a dami. Now, when do we say Shtika hoda'a dami? Is when someone makes a statement, or an Eidus comes, and he does not disagree with them. But if both sets of Eidim came simultaneously, can you really interpret his silence to be an admission? Because he had two sets of Eidut here, so why was his silence maybe meaningless in this case? That's what Tosfos says. The La Modehu, the Amar Li, Mali HaChisham. Why do I have to even rebut their positions? Hashtehim Machsin Zetzet. The Eidus is even clear. When do I have to have a rebuttal? That's when there's a clear Eidut, and now I have to say something about it. But here I have two sets of Eidim coming and saying different things, and I don't even have to disagree. They're disagreeing with each other. I don't need to disagree with them. And therefore his Hoda'ah, his Shtika over here will not be considered like a Hoda'ah. So that's what Tosfos gives three possibilities, right, about what's transpiring over here. Either the Baal Din right, is machish both of them, so that's why we have to deal with the edut. Number two is he doesn't remember, so therefore it's all up to the edim and not up to him. And the third possibility is even though he's silent, and generally silence is kol adamya, in this case maybe not, because his silence is because he feels there's a lack of necessity to create a rebuttal, because the edim themselves are machshin zedze. Right now, continuing the Gemara, Masnis and the Loki High Tana. This Mishnah is not like this Tana. The Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broko, Omer, Lo Nechleku Beit Shammai Ubeit Hillel, Shtei Kite Edim. They don't argue when it's two sets of Edim. When it's two sets of Edim, Achad Omer Tzidayim, Achad Omer Chamesh, Yishmachal Chamesh Tzidayim. Everybody agrees that two is subsumed within five, and therefore they agree on five. So even Beit Shammai would agree, Alma Nechleku Akat Achad. The case where they argue is only when there's one cut. Two Edim from the same group of Edim come. Echad Omer Shtayim, Echad Omer Chamesh. One says two, one says five. You don't have a full set of Edutz here. You have two Edim who are supposedly a cut of Edim, right, that are coming to speak, and yet they differ in what they are testifying about. So there is no Edutz. That's not true. They are at least admitting, both of them are testifying that there were two. One of them happens to testify there's an additional three, but at least together they can create a set of two. So that's one thing. So this Tana is not like our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about two sets, two kate edim. And over here, according to Rabbi Shmuel Benosha, Rabbi Yochum and Roka, in the case of two sets of edim, every even Beit Shammai would agree. Their machlokas is only when you have one set, one cut that comes before you, then that's when they argue, and that's not the case in our Mishnah. Now, our Rabbi.
It's a little bit harder to understand, but still in that case, because you don't have any validators of it. If you have two valid sets of edim, then I can understand the idea that Yesh Bechal Chamesh Tayyim. You have two valid sets of edim, and even though they disagree, they do agree about the 2 years. Right? But you don't have any valid cut edim at all.
So you hold like the Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that basically that even Beit Hillel would agree by Kadachat that it's not the way they done. What do you do with Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan's position? You have to say that Palgin and Dibura, that we separate out. The person's testifying to five, he has two separate sets of testimony. He testifies in the first 2 years, where he's a joint aid with the other person, and then he testifies separately about the additional three. I mean that when you say five, you're actually saying two plus three, and that's what you have to say.
If you testify about what the person said,
but that's...
He said two, and then he said number three. If that's the case, then that's different.
We're interpreting, and that's what you're saying. But that's... There are positions... I'm not disagreeing. There are positions like you. Now, Amarav, there is... Rav seems to say something like what you're saying, which is a kol modim bimone. If you enumerate, if you count the numbers, then it's like that. If you say 2 and 5, that's one thing. But what happens if the first guy says he took an edus for 1 and for 1 and 2, an additional second one, and the other one goes, no, he took an edus for 3, 4, and 5 edus. There it's clear that you're counting one by one how many edus that he actually took. In that case, it's clear that they're not agreeing that within 5 you can say subsume 2. Here you're saying 1, 2, the other is saying, no, it's 3, 4, and 5. So he's clearly disagreeing about how many idiot that what are the agencies here is clearly arguing. Some of your chavler pissed in my kamar. What happened here? What transpired here? Ilema echad omer chamesh velo shtayim echad omer shtayim velo chamesh. What's the case here? If one of them is saying five and not two, and the other one saying two, not five, then it's clear that you don't have any edut here. Right? How come they are arguing, right? They're clearly negating. He's not even saying it's two and maybe five. He's just saying two and not five. The other one's saying five and not two. So it's clear that they're arguing in that case. One of them says he took a nizirut of one and then two. No, he took 3, 4, 5 nizirut. So in that case, the fact that he said 3, 4, and 5, right, he's coming to exclude the achat ushtayim. So in that case, so the Gemara says, ha'lamali. So why do you have to tell me this at all? I mean, that this, by the way, just so you know, the Gersa in the Gemara here is very difficult to read. Right, and...
Shouldn't it be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Right, it should be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's going to be the answer to the Gemara. We'll tell that. So that's very good. That's why the Gemara is going to have, there's a opinion in the Marava, which is Rabbi Yochanan's position, that's not Hakasha. That's exactly what you're saying. He said, I didn't need to mention 1 and 2. The other guy mentioned 1 and 2. So I'm just mentioning what I want to say in addition to what he said. 1 and 2, I say 3, 4, and 5 also. So that's the answer. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says, that Rav's wrong about his position. All right, but now let's deal with Rav right now. So what's Rav's position? How lovingly, Hashem Yishlam HaKamir, Tamar Rav, Kiltalol Amar. So what is this? right, that this additional. So the Girsu, according to the Rosh, and the Tosas change a little bit. And if you look at the Rosh, it's easier to find right now. If you look at the Rosh, it's the first line in the Rosh here. Right, after Garcina, Ha Lamali, Hashka, Hamirta, Amar Kilta Lokosha Gain. That's the. But Lo Garcina and Hamirta. We leave out this word Hamirta. Amarav, Papi Perusha. Amai Havya Hokosha. Why is there a Hokosha here? Hakta Kamar Gimel Dalagom Shikal, Hakta Kamar Alpha Base, the Mima, I mean, Ha Lamali, Hashka, Alpha Base. I already mentioned that. So according to the Rosh, and according to Tosfot here, this part of the Gemara is a question on Rav. This is actually a question on Rav. The question on Rav is, ah, Lomali, why do I need this at all? I mean, that Hashka Chamirta, I mentioned 3, 4, and 5, right? Kilta lo Amar, right? Meaning Kota lo Koshikain? Then the 1 and 2 are definitely subsumed in that. I mean, the other guy mentioned 1 or 2. I didn't need to mention 1 or 2. When I mentioned 3, 4, or 5, I was building on the memra of the other 8.
He also said 3, 4, and 5.
Exactly. So that's according to them, the Kirsten in the Gemara is a question on Rav. And then the conclusion of the Gemara is Amar Bermarova in Hafasha Bamona. That's right. That the conclusion there itself against Rav are like Rabbi Yochanan that there is no Hafasha by Mona. So this is a question on Rav. The way the Mefarish reads it, right? so if you he learns it as a continuation of Rav's statement. Why do we need Rav to tell us about Mona? It's because it's a continuation of Rav's statement to teach us that this is what Rav believes. And that's why if you look in the first one in the Mefarish, he says, Hashesh Lamar Kamir Tamarav, hey Khadabu base kitaidim ba'akad omer akad, right? Ushtaim Ushni Omer Kimodala Hesh, meaning later Rav, Nechlaka Idu Tam, the Kilta. No, that he also did say, and then Mefarish says something unbelievable. He says, where did Rav say such a thing? That the Edutam is also Nechlak when it's a two sets of Edim. Mar says, oh, that's in the Yerushalmi. That's what Mefarish says, that we find in the Yerushalmi. Which is pretty amazing that the Gemara here is quoting, this is a Bavli, and it's quoting Rav, and it says, you know, Rav, does Rav only say it by two kitayim, or does he also say it by one, I mean, or does he also say it by the one set of eight, does he also say it by the two sets of eight? Rav says, yeah, he does say it, that's where, and then the Mefarish says, how do you know he said it? That's from a Yerushalmi. We know that Rav said it in a Yerushalmi. Since when does the Baal believe so may come with the Yerushalmi, a memra or a machlokes that Rav has in the Yerushalmi, that Rav said such a thing? And the Bavli looks internally to find out that we have a position of Rav. We have a Shmaita the Rav somewhere. Where did the Bavli come up and ask the Yerushalmi, or look in the Yerushalmi to find out what Rav said? Very, very unusual setup. But that's the way the Mefarish is explaining it here. That the Bavli.
The first thing that the Bavli is just not is leaving it out, but that it's implicit that we can't assume that Rav actually said it. Because we know we have the Yerushalmi, the Rav.
Right, well, that's the Bavli in the end is saying Rav did say it. So the Mefarish is saying, where do we know that Rav said it? He goes, oh, in the Yerushalmi. If that's the case, why not bring the member of Rav? The Bavli will usually bring the member of Rav, and they should have quoted the Gemara that the Yerushalmi believes. It's very, very unusual the way the Mefarish explains it. And that's why the Rosh and the Tosafot, I believe, changed the Girsa here and say that it's part of the question on Rav. It has nothing to do with a proof for Rav or that Rav said something else, because Rav never did say anything else. And the Yerushalmi is not relevant to the Bavli in terms of what Rav said. If the Rav has a machlokes with Rabbi Yochanan, the Yerushalmi, that's not relevant to us here in the Bavli unless we have the member of Rav quoted, or we quote that machlokes. That same Tosafta, Brisa, whatever has been quoting in the Yerushalmi should also be quoted over here.
Right. Okay. So how do you read through according to the Russian Tosfos?
Okay, the Russian Tosfos is that Halamali, that's a question on Rav, and then the Gemara says, you're right, because in the Marova, in Hafakash of Bamona, you're right, in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't hold like Rav, and they said there is no Hafakash in this case, and Rav's wrong.
So how do you do the Gemara?
Oh, they changed the gear. So the gear says it's Halamali, Hashka Chamirta, Amar, Kiltolo Kosikin. That it's referring to the eight. The eight said Chamirta. He said 3, 4, and 5, and certainly he meant 1 and 2. Meaning that he's being somech on the other eight who said 1 and 2. And when he says 3 and 4 and 5, he's just adding on a lesson on top of that. So that's how Chamirta. They changed the gear, so it doesn't read, you can't read it in what we have in our Gemara. It's not the same gear. So the gear says Halamali, Hashka Chamirta, Amar, Kiltolo Kosikin. That's if he said 3, 4, and 5, he certainly meant 1 and 2, and therefore it shouldn't be a chashal. And the Gemara says, that's right. in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they said. Ein hachasha b'mona. The Rav is wrong. Whereas the Mepharsh is reading, no, this is an additional statement about Rav, Rav's position, that he holds not only that by two sets of Eidim, that it's Nechka Yudam, but even one set of Eidut, that is Nechka Yudam, right? And that is Pshita, because he certainly said such a thing. How do you know he said such a thing? That the Mepharsh says, we find in the Yerushalmi. Again, it's a very difficult position to take. And then he says, Amri Bar Marav is a separate statement of the Gemara, that there's someone else who argues on Rav, that not Rav isn't the only opinion here. There's someone else in Eretz Yisrael who argues on Rav, which is basically the Yerushalmi says it's Rabbi Yochanan, which would make sense. Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael, and he argues on Rav and says it's not Hachbasha. That is what's found in the Yerushalmi.
According to the Russians, what's Rav's statement again?
There is no, this on here, on this stop, on this Amud, there is
no. What's Rav's statement? What is Rav's position?
That by Mona, there is no, there is, which even Beit Hillel will agree by Mona that it's a question.
What is Mona, according to that?
According to that is when he says 3, 4, 5.
And not 1 and 2.
Right, correct.
And therefore we assume that
he mentioned the exclusion of 1 and 2. And that's where the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Why not just say? He said 3, 4, 5, because he meant to, I already knew 1 and 2, so now I'm just adding 3, 4, 5. I'm adding on the additional statement. That's the question of the Gemara in Rav's position. Right, the problem is it makes Rav very, the way the Rosh Hashanah read, it makes Rav seem very, you know,
unnecessary.
And that's there, it's just not, it doesn't make sense. Rav makes sense.
Right, so there's a certain problem in that.
Right. But if you read like the Mepharish, again, there's no, not that Rav makes any more sense, because he still has the problem, but he just says, okay, that's Rav's opinion, versus Rabbi Yochanan's opinion in Yerushalmi. Alright, Rav, it seems that Rav is a weak position, that's what the Gemara is asking. Rav's position seems very weak, and the Gemara is asking, based on that, we know, this is a very weak position, the Gemara goes, you're right, it's a weak position, and we know that there are others that argue on Rav. Alright, new Mishnah, new Perek, new Mishnah. Misha Amar, Harini Nazir.
And according to the Mepharish's version, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan.
Yeah, well, Rabbi Yochanan is not relevant to Rav, but Rav holds, according to our Gemara, Rav holds both by two sets of Eidim and one set of Eidim that this will be considered a Hachbasha. That his statement is applicable. Moneh affects both when you have two Kate Eidim and one Kate Eidim. Both are considered to be a Hachbasha when you have Moneh. That's all. That's what the Gemara is saying over here.
Eidim sent Moneh the same way?
Yes. All right. New Mishnah. Misha Amar. I don't think either way. The Gemara is not an easy read according to Rav. In either way, because you know. All right. Misha Amar, Reini Nazir b'Shamat Pamiro. So one who says I am a Nazir and his friend hears it. Amar Bani. And then the next one says Bani. And they keep going down the chain. They say Bani Bani. Kulam Nizirim. They're all Nizirim. Kutar Rishon. Kutar Kulam. If the first one gets a Taras Nadarim, then they all become Mutar, right? Why? Because it was a daisy chain, right? That daisy chain says, or daisy wheel, that
they were Matpis.
Right, they were Matpis on the first guy. So since all they were Kulam were Matpis on the first guy, therefore, when the first guy disappears, they lose their underlying Hapasa. If they lose their underlying Hapasa, their Nipa goes away as well. Mutar Akron, Akron Mutar, Kulano Surim. If that last one gets right taken out, then the last one is let go. And everybody else is a sur. Amar Harini Nazir, Bishamach Amar Pip Kapiv, Usari Tisharu. Right, Harini is a Nazir. The person says, when he hears his friend taking in Nazir, my mouth is like his mouth, my hair is like his hair, that's the equivalent of a good enough to say that he's saying the same thing as the other guy, and he's a Nazir. Harini Nazir, Bishamach Ishto. He says, I'm a Nazir, and his wife hears about it. Amra Ani, Bani, and I want to be like you. Maker at Shalav is Lokayam. He can be Maker his wife's nether and still have his stay in place. Why? Because when he took his nether, he didn't say anything about his wife. His wife is the one who initiated making herself a Nazira on top of him. Says, I don't want you to be a Nazira, and therefore he can be made for her nether without impacting on his nether. Whereas if she says, I'm a Nazira, she says, I'm a Nazira, Mishama Bala, and then her Bala heard about it. Bamara Ba'ani, I want to be one also. Enu Yoko Lahaper, he is unable to be Mayfair her nether, because his statement V'ani automatically assumes a kiyum, right? Automatically assumes a kiyum, because without a kiyum, he could never have had pasa with her nether. And we had this in the Gemara Nidorin, right? We had this in another, whether you can have a kiyum l'shar or not, right? Because the Gemara wanted to know, was there such thing as a kiyum for 1 hour? Because why? That would help him in this case. If you could have a kiyum l'sha'ah, then he can be mekayim the nether for one sha'ah, be matkis on that nether, and then be mefer at that point. And then he would have hadpasa, good hadpasa, and get rid of her nether. But if you believe that, what, there is no kiyum l'sha'ah, then when he says vani, it must be that he's mekayim her nether, because without the kiyum of her nether, his statement is meaningless.
Even if you would have said that in general, there's kiyum l'sha'ah, you could say that by the zeros there isn't, because by the zeros, you have the idea that it's time of zeros. There's no such thing as a zero, that's time of zeros. But there is no zeros, that's part of the social
yes.
So to
right, you suggested this,
validate
yes.
The zeros for an hour is meaningless.
No, but he validated it. No, he can be made for her Naziris after 15 days, and then Naziris goes away. And he has the ability to be made for her. It's not the key in that.
He's only made for when the first year's a day, on the day of the year.
Right, so on that same day, he does the kiyum for an hour, and then he's made for it after that hour.
Yeah, no, I understand. And he has his neighbor. But I'm saying, you could say, you don't have to say just because it works one way by the zeros, that it works the same way by other than because the zeros is different.
Right.
But you could say that...
The only problem, I hear what you're saying, the only problem is that the Gemara brings in the Dharm this Mishnah as proof that it doesn't work.
Right, and I seem to remember somebody discussing the fact that it may not be a valid comparison for that reason.
Right. I don't recall, but that's it. The Gemara brings this proof. This is the proof that Gemara brings as our Mishnah right here. So you can't have a cumulus shot. Alright, so either way, the Vani is at least here, and you suggested this yesterday, that maybe by Naziris, so even when we say in general that a Baal's Mayfair is Mika's Gaiz, and in Naziris it should be Me'akar Oker, because the Stam Naziris Baal, we have less than 30 days, it's not even a Nazirit anymore. Alright, the Gemara is not going to conclude that way. This sugya is going to come up actually in our Gemara coming in the next couple of that. That whether it is Baal's Mayfair is Mika's Gaiz or Me'akar Oker, and you see that the Gemara applies it even in Nazirut. So, whereas the logic might be true, it doesn't seem like the Gemara adopts the logic that you're suggesting over here. Alright, so now, in a Yochalap, or in a Nazir, if he says, I am a Nazir, va'at, and he asks him, what about you? Says his wife, what about you? Va'am ra'ame. Then he can say, made for X or what? He can still be made for hers, but Shalokayam, his, stays in fact. Why? Because when he took his net of the Zirut, that was done. And he's already a Nazir. When he says va'at, he's still a possibility that she will not accept the Nazirut. So the question of Ba'at already leaves it open that it's almost a new statement of Nazirut. And when she says Ba'at, and she says yes, he can still have the option to be made for her nether, and not affect his nether. Alright. Okay, so Ba'at, Ba'amra Amei, make for Echelah. Bishalo Kayam. Haray Nazira, she says I'm Nazira, Ve'ata. And she says, what about you? To her husband. Ba'amra Amei. And then he says, Amei, Eno Yochel Hafer. In that case, again, he requires the Apostle of her Neder Nizirut. And since he requires the Apostle of her Neder Nizirut, right, therefore, he needs, by definition, when he says, I am a Nazir, he's Mekayim, her Neder Nizirut. Alright, now, the Gemara says, and it's going to be, the Rishonim here learned differently, and I'm going to explain the Mishnah two ways, and based on that, we'll see the Gemara. When in the Gemara it says in the beginning, when a person says Harini Nazir, and then everybody else comes and says Vani, 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 right? What is that? What does the Vani, Vani, Vani mean when you say that afterwards? Right? Does the Vani mean I also? Meaning that they are referencing the original person who took the Neder Nazirut, and Vani is saying me too, like Reuven. Reuven took a Neder Nazirut, and everybody comes after and says Vani, they're referencing Reuven's Neder Nazirut. Or Vani could be referencing the next person who took the Neder Nazirut. Say Reuven was there, he took the Neder Nazirut, and Shimon says, Vani, I'm also another Nazir. Then Levi comes along and says, Vani. Who is he saying Vani to? Is he saying Vani to Reuven, or is he saying Vani to Shimon? Which one is he referencing? Why does it make a difference?
If the first one is somewhere in the middle...
Either case, if somewhere in the middle gets cut off... Oh, wait, you're right. Right.
After we're referencing Reuven.
Right, then in the middle, if someone in the middle gets cut off. Right, you're right about that. The other nafkamina is going to be, how soon after the first statement do you need to be in touch? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss here. Do I have to be proximate to Reuven's statement in order to get a Nazirut? Or, if I'm continuing down, Vani, Vani, Vani means that Shimon, then Levi is referencing Shimon, then I can continue the statement going, even though we're now way away from Reuven's original statement. Now, this happens to be a Makos Rishon, how to learn the Gemara. Based on that, this next piece of Gemara will differ based on that. All right, so now we go. Yotiv Reish Lakish kamed Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. So I can say before Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah, v'yatif kamar v'hu, she'd pisu kulam b'toch kedei dibur. That they have to do a pasal within a toch kedei dibur. V'kama toch kedei dibur. What is kedei toch kedei dibur? Kedei shelot shalom. V'kama shelot shalom, kedei shelot shalom, kedei shomer shalom tamid d'rav. And what is the amount of time that it says to do shelot shalom? That is shalom alecha Rebbe, or possibly shalom alecha Rebbe Yomori. So now, what is the Gemara saying over here? The Gemara is saying, according to the Gemara, or the way the Gemara is learning right now, it's basically what? That Toch Kedei Dibur has to be Toch Kedei Dibur of the first statement of Reuven.
Word.
Everybody. Anybody who wants to go along here.
Why do you have to say that? Why can't I just be Toch Kedei Dibur of the statement?
Or the daisy chain.
Okay, I'll say that.
Because each one keeps it alive.
That may be the answer to the Gemara. Right now the Gemara has a question, and I will tell you here, if you're going to learn, we're going to learn the Rishonim, and we'll see that the Rishonim learn otherwise. So here, in the Gemara here, what does it say? All right, we'll say in the Mepharish. Right, in the Mepharish. Let's start with the Mepharish. Yatim Reish Lachish Kamei Rav Yudin Nisim Yatim Kamar. Ki Tnai B'mas Nisan V'Kulan Nizirim K'gon Chi Pisu Kulan B'Tok Kdei Dibor Shel Rishon. They're all being Hatis with the first guy. So Umas Nisan, I'm skipping down a line in the Mepharish now. Umas Nisan Diktani Vani Vani Lotani Elitrain Dapka Kitani. That is Dapka that he said Vani Vani. Why does the Mishnah say only two people can get in their terms here? Tishafa Bechada Teva Mikama the Merarini Nazir Umatarpele the Hanak Tamri Vani Vani Shukulan Shlosha Nidru Betok Shelet Shalom. So what? Well, how many words are there in the Shamalecha Rebbe, right? Shamalecha Rebbe is three words.
It's really syllables, not words.
All right.
It's talking about timing.
Okay, fair enough. But the way the Rishonim phrase it here, it's Shamalecha Rebbe. So it would be, there are four syllables here, but...
It'll also work.
Right, over here it says, so he says, there any Nazir? So it'll work. Nazir takes up those two syllables of Shalom. And then so then you would have, he says that you have three words. This is what the Mepharish explains. Since you have three words, the last word of the first guy, Reuven, is taking the Nebnezi root, plus the additional two is Vani Vani, that takes up the Toch Kedei Dibur. That's why you have the original guy plus two bunnies.
It's not talking about from the beginning of the first guy's statement, so you're from the end of the first
guy. Right, so the end, he says take the last word. His last word is one word. Then you have bunny, bunny is two words.
No.
All right, so
start at the end of it.
Thank you. All right, so I agree with you. So guess what? So does Tosfos. The other is showing him. Say, what are you talking about here? Why is it three? It's actually three. So here we go.
It still doesn't work. Ba'ani, ba'ani, it's six. And you don't have room for another ba'ani, syllable-wise.
Right, so that's what we're going to say. So I see here, Tosfos says, look down at Tosfos. Yotiv Rav Shimon Lakish Kamei Rav Yehuda Nisiyah, right? Yotiv Kamar Behushit Bisu Kulam Betoch Dibur. Can a Farish Rav Lech Kadei Shalat Shalom Tamid the Rav? The Hainu Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Kimol Tevot. Hachanami Yecholim Shlosha Anashim Latisa Tzman Berishon. Right, that three people can do it. So he disagrees with the Farish that you can get. He says like you guys. But Toch Kedei Dibur is not... They have anything to do with the first guy. The first guy's gone, Reuven's gone. Then, within Toch Kedei Dibur, which is three words, you say, Bani, Bani, Bani. Those three, Bani, Bani, Bani. Actually, Bani, Bani would be two syllables each.
And why can't you have 70 guys saying it at once?
Right, at once, yeah, but that's not... The question is that they said it one after another. They didn't say it simultaneously.
Let me ask you this. How can a Mishnah say 70 guys saying it at once? In other words... It has to say, Yomer Shi.
No, Shi Momer Vani. Right. The fact that it says Vani Vani sequentially sounds like they're one after the other in the middle.
Yeah.
All right. So it was the Kaimoto. So therefore, it's a, where am I? In the middle of that, in that Tosfot. So it says that you have three, right? So because you can say, so Avram Yochum Shloshan Shin Lai Pisa Tzma Berishon. So now the Nazir Shklachad Echad Omar Vani Heim Shloshan Tebot. Now, the Gemara answers up, right? So now what does the Gemara answer? I'm related to Vloshavak the Rav for the Talmida. What's the whole idea of, that's in the Gemara, I'm sorry. Right, the Gemara says, last line in the Gemara, related to Vloshavak the Rav for the Talmida. That's not a good answer. Why? Because you didn't leave enough time for the Talmid to answer his Rebbe. What's the whole purpose of the Shalom Alecha Rebbe? The whole purpose of the Shalom Alecha Rebbe is that a student could interrupt what he's doing, say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and then return to what he's doing and not be considered a hefsek. Right, so the way you're reading it right now, there won't be this opportunity. Someone takes a head in the Zirut, you say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, you're out of time before you can ever say Bani. So that whole point of the Shalom Alecha Rebbe is to allow you enough time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe and still be within the context of the first Nezirut.
It's not just finally the unit of measure that we're saying that's the gap of time that we allow.
Right.
It's like that's what we use because we want that Adamus should have the opportunity to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe and still be able to
say Bani.
Whatever it is that
So what's the conclusion? So look back and tell us now. Look back and tell us. So what's the conclusion? Right? So if this is the great, before he could say something to this guy, his rabbi walks in front of him, and his guy had to give him a greeting. If he does that, he's out of luck. Now he can't do that posa. It makes no sense. Look at Tosus' conclusion. Tosus' conclusion is, you can get four guys in. Not three guys, but four guys in. Why? Because you get the Tokhkadei Dibur, plus the moment after that. Because the Tokhkadei Dibur is enough for the Talmud to greet his Rebbe, plus the moment afterwards will still be considered as if there is no Hefsek here. So Tosus says you can get four guys in. You get Bani, 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 which is equivalent to Shalom Alecha Rebbe, plus the fourth Ani, which is right after Shalom Alecha Rebbe. That'd be okay. But you can't get five in. So according to Tosfos, the Mishnah, right, the question, the Gemara here says, why does the Mishnah only say three guys come in? Because of Tokhkadei Dibur. Then the Gemara asks on that, why do you only get three? You should be able to get four because the whole Svara is that that Shalom Alecha Rebbe should not be a Hefsek, that should allow you to do something after Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So the conclusion is, okay, so now you can get four guys, not three, but four guys in.
And what's Pshat in Rav Chela Talmida?
You didn't give enough. The whole point of Shalom Alecha Rebbe is to give the Talmud the opportunity to say Shalom to his Rebbe and still be within the context of that which he was doing before.
Meaning to give the Rebbe a chance to say Shalom Alecha back to him?
No. That Talmud, after saying to somebody, Ruvain took a net to see Ruth, and Shimon's standing there. So he takes a net to Zirut, and he wants to be Matis in Ruvain's net, and all of a sudden his Rebbe shows up. So we want to give the Talmud enough time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and to still consider when he says Bani that he's referencing Ruvain's statement. So how do you, that'll be the whole amount of Shalom Alecha Rebbe plus one moment after that.
If the come-up is exactly Shalom Alecha Rebbe, so by the time he finishes Shalom Alecha Rebbe, it's too late for him to say Bani.
Right, because he'll be outside the context of the first statement.
That's where you're going to see his ending. You're not giving the Talmud enough time to say the Bani if he sees his Rebbe.
So I don't understand why he didn't give him Rav Chela Talmida.
Let's say, in the case where it's only three people, say that way Tosfos went originally, the Havamina is that it's only three people, that means that if Shimon is standing there and he hears Reuven say, I want to be a Nazir, then his Rebbe walks in front of him and says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and then he goes to Bani, we're going to say it's too late. Too late. That means that saying Shalom to your Rebbe ruined your opportunity to become a Nazir.
So how would he have said it?
He says no. So in the end he says no. Your conclusion about that you can only piece of kulam betoch de dibor, it's not betoch de dibor, but really means
acharei toch de dibor.
Right, exactly. The first moment after
toch de dibor. Right. Acharei. So that's
the basic conclusion. That it's toch de dibor is the gap, plus you get the moment afterwards to do whatever you want to do. And that's what it has to be. So you can actually tell us this, you can get four guys in, not three guys in. Now, the Rosh, on the other hand, I think comes to the conclusion that we did, is why can't you say this is a daisy chain? And that is what Rav Chela Talmida is. So if you look in the Rosh, the Rosh says, Vahu, shehitpisu, or shetapsu betoch kidei dibor. Right, so do you see that in the Rosh? It's after, you can see, it's a new parak, right? Vahu, shetapsu betoch kidei dibor. The Hainu, shom alecha rebi, kin refers to, they shall have shalom tevichim gimel tevot. Hilkach, gimel matpasa berishon, aval dalu lo. Shvar yifsiku gimel, bani, vaviyotu mikdei dibor. So that's like Tosfos. He's learning in the Havamina, it's like Tosfos. Exactly the same problem that Tosfos raises, right? Once he says Shalom Alecha Rebbe, he can't get back to the first guy. Hilkach niret zegama revi'i yochol hadpis demechubar letokhtei dibor. Why? Because ketoch shemechubar letokhtei dibor ketokhtei dibor domi. Right, that is that it's within Toch today dibur. That what? That gam hadalit. Why can the fourth guy go? You hold that piece. That mechubar l'tochadei dibur k'tochadei dibur domi. That which is attached to tochadei dibur is like tochadei dibur. What does that mean? What is the Rush saying? So the Rush could be either saying like Tosfos. That what? That if you are the moment after tochadei dibur, you're considered as part of tochadei dibur. The other possibility of what the Rush is saying is that anybody who's in tochadei dibur is still within the context of the original. And that's a possibility of what the Rush is saying. Kol, right? Yokach, right? That yokalai piece to mechubar l'tochadei dibur. Anybody who's attached to tochadei dibur, bid tochadei dibur domi. It's as if he's still in the tochadei dibur. So therefore, when Shimon and Levi and Yehuda, the first three guys, took a neder niziru tochadei, or they said bani bani bani, they are extending the context of that pasul with the first guy. Either one of two ways. Either extending it because it never ended. Divani extends the amount of time that is considered tochadei dibur because they are extending the context. Or the other possibility is that by saying vani, they now become the new entity. And by they become the new entity, when the person after them says vani, he's still tochadei dibur of the person who did the hadpasul. Right, so again, the simplest way you can read the Rosh is he's just like Tosfos. That what? When you say Hamachubar Tochadei Dibur, sometimes immediately after or attached to Tochadei Dibur, it's if it was Tochadei Dibur. That's really like Tosfos. That means that when you get to the fourth guy, it's just like you had the third guy. The other two possibilities I gave reading this Rosh, which then sound a little more like what we were trying to suggest earlier, is one possibility is that the context of the first guy can be extended by each person who's saying Bani. It's as if they're continuing his statement, as if his statement didn't end, and his statement keeps going. Therefore, anybody who attaches to that is still within tochadei dibur of the original statement, because it extends, it expands.
I think we have that by brachos, right? If you're only allowed to answer tochadei dibur, so let's say amen yeshua or whatever. So even if you're not in the tochadei dibur of the shtei tzibur, the person saying kaddish, if you're tochadei dibur of the tzibur, the last person in the tzibur who's still saying amen yeshua, but you're still allowed to say it because you're considered still tochadei dibur.
All right, so that is not so clear. It happens to be my focus in the post scheme. Whether in that case you can say it's not the problem is the amen, which a lot of post scheme believe that you can still say Heshmei Rabbah, and the Tzibur is saying Heshmei Rabbah, but you could not answer the Amen, because the Amen is a reference to that.
The
Mishnah does bring saying you can't say Amen, but that is not Muskam. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees that the Amen is not necessarily the case, and that is, it may not be so clear. That Amen there may be an Amen Yisoma, as it's called in the Moran Brachos, and you should not answer the Amen. And I think the Netiyah of the Achronim is to say that you could say the Heshmei Rabbah, but do not say the Amen, because the Amen belongs to the statement above. So I say that's not so clear.
May I give an example? Because of that, right, because the Mishnah also brings out you have to separate the Amen from the Heshmei Rabbah, because it's really different. It's not really a Tochadei Dibur because it's a separate statement. But by regular Amen, let's say.
We don't say that. If you say Amen and the Tzibur says Amen, you can't go on for half an hour saying Amen if every person's within the Amen at the first gathering.
According to this Mishnah word, it seems to be that you can.
Right.
It's talked about it also by verse.
Let's finish the Gemara and then we'll talk about it once. So then, if you say the two possibilities in the Rush are, again, that we're just saying now, that the context is extended by each person saying V'ani, or the other possibility is he's saying what we would have been the point of chat in the Mishnah, which we thought, which is every time the person says V'ani, he's not Matpis on the Rishon, he's Matpis on the next guy. In that Reuben says, I'm a Nazir, then Shimon says V'ani. Now Shimon's a Nazir, so when the Levi says V'ani, he's referencing Shimon and not Reuben. So he's saying, Vani, Vani, and it becomes a daisy chain. And that's what the says, call him a chubar, the Tochadei Dibur, can talk to the Dibur dummy. Anyways, attached to the original apostles as if he's within the Tochadei Dibur. So those are three possibilities of way of learning the Rush. Again, the simplest way, because you see what Tosfos says, might be to just say what Tosfos says. Doing two other possibilities in the way the Rush is thinking, because that will open us up to what we were suggesting in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is really suggesting as some sort of daisy chain rather than everybody's being mafis on the Rishon. And the conclusion of the Mishnah will still be the same, that if you're matir the first guy, then you still matir all of them. Because by being matir the first one, either you take away the original context, or you take away the hatpasa of the first guy by taking away his hatpasa, then each one loses their hatpasa down the road. Alright, we'll stop here.